Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know, I feel like I can do anything. Now that I've taken 2 6.5-hour buses within 72 hours.
Yeah, you really committed to the bus life.
I had no choice. What else was I going to do? Spend $400 on a rental car? No.
No, certainly not.
And the first one wasn't bad.
Will you, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but now that I have, I'm going to roll with it. Will you just tell us about why you took the buses?
It's
the best weekend.
It was a great weekend. On Saturday, I woke up and at 7 a.m. I took a 6.5-hour.
After being in Brooklyn until like 11, you really committed.
Yeah, and we took the train home.
Yeah.
No, we weren't in Brooklyn that late.
No, that's true. You guys left at like 9:45. That was much smarter.
Yeah, well, because you guys were like, we'll come home and play board games because it was getting like super dark. It was dark.
That's when we started Game of Thrones.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It was dark. We had like a very high school night in the park with champagne and listened to some Indian EDM from a distance.
Yes, you heard that correctly. Indian EDM.
It was fascinating. And there was like a pack of 40 bikers who kept speeding by us. It was really quite a night in the park.
Cyclists, though, not like motorcycles.
Right. Anyway, so you woke up.
So I woke up and I took a 7 a.m. bus and then two other buses to get to Falmouth, Massachusetts, mm-hmm. Which is on Cape Cod or right off Cape Cod. And I did a reading on Sunday with some very talented actors, including but not limited to Sam Waterston.
If you go to Brooke's Instagram, because you should already be following her, there's an incredible photo of her and Sam Waterston. Brooke, will you please repeat for the listening audience what he said about the photo?
He said, "We look like two best friends who just went on a fishing trip."
Which is so true. That was my thought
like
when I saw it.
A little yellow raincoat.
He looks very cute.
And
cutie.
We look like we've known each other for 70 years.
It's remarkably true.
And he gave me a kiss on the forehead and said it was nice to meet you when we left. And which I was like, you know, after the whole conversation that we had today about, you know, this behavior, I should be like, meet me. But I was like, thanks, Grandpa.
No, never.
So it was fine.
You know, guys bonded.
We bonded. We did. We had exchanged a lot of sass. And then took another 6.5-hour bus ride on Monday to come back to the city. Yeah, Monday.
What did you do on all those hours of bus rides?
The first bus, I slept for like the big chunk, mm-hmm. and then I journaled. And then it was like, so the only like sort of unbearable stretch was from New York to Providence. Mm-hmm. Because Providence to Bourne, Massachusetts was maybe like 1.5 hours. Mm-hmm. And then it was like 20 minutes.
Oh, nice.
So like the 4 bus ride to and from Manhattan was the one where I was like, the first one I was asleep, so it was fine. But the second one, I was just like, I'm not really tired. I watched a movie that I was like,
what do you watch?
I watched Flower. It's a Zoe Deutsch movie. I'm really into her right now.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's weird. It's dark, and it was billed as a comedy, and it wasn't.
Oh, strange.
And there was a lot
not
of like,
you signed up for.
Moments that I was uncomfortable, and I had to stop it a couple times.
Ooh.
And I wanted to read, but I didn't want to read because it made me sick, and so I journaled more. I let my anxiety run wild a little bit. I sent a lot of texts and people would be like, sorry, I'm not responding right away. I'm like, I mean, it's fine. I'm just sitting here on a bus.
It's totally fine. I'm not taking it personally, except your name's on a list and I will remember this forever.
Funnily enough, at one point we were talking about one of the scenes in the play and they were like, you have to play this a certain way. Otherwise it comes across a little bit murdery. And the actress that I was sitting next to, I turned to her and I was like, honestly, I think I would prefer it if it were murder. And she was like, me
too. Sounds like it would have improved the plot.
I have a lot to say.
Murder is always welcome here in Brooke's life, in Brooke's world.
Murder is always welcome in my life, in my world.
Brooke's Corner.
Remember Brooke's Corner?
It's full of murder.
Brooke's Corner. Let's talk about murder. Brooke's Corner. If we don't, then it'll be you.
Oh. Ooh.
That's my go-to melody. That's my same melody for Pizza for One. Mm-hmm. You know Pizza for One.
I've heard you.
The song that I wrote for myself in college about getting Giordano's pizza that's just for me. If you'd like to hear Pizza for One, you can contact me directly, and I'll send you an audio.
Highly recommend. Someday that'll be worth millions, that raw file.
Pizza for One. How about you? How was your weekend?
I had a good weekend. I, in a lot of ways, just have been living in, like, a liminal space for a long time where, like, things are real but not quite real. I'm Schrodinger's Bridget. Just, like, all of the opportunities and options are real at once, but they're not. So for two weekends in a row, I've, for the first time in, like, a long time, been just, like, able to chill, slept in, spent a lot of time with friends on Saturday, which was super nice. Sunday, I deep cleaned our kitchen, which was also a very cathartic feeling. And, I'm pretty good. It is literally hour by hour how I'm feeling, but today I've been like, I've coasted, you know. The weather makes me miserable. It's storming all week, except it did the one thing I was hoping it wouldn't do, and it just increased the humidity.
It's 80% humidity right now.
I walked outside this morning and I was like dressed a little nicer than I usually do because I'm like trying to put in effort these days. Weird thought. And I walked outside and I was just furious, like full body fury. And then I kind of had to jog to the subway and then all of that.
Yes. I just feel dense.
Yes. And it's like a blanket, a terrible blanket.
It's a terrible blanket.
At all times.
A straight jacket almost.
A straight jacket. It makes a lot of my like compulsions jump out. You know, I'm like twitchy in my skin and I'm like, ugh. But I'm in a perpetual state of complaining about the weather, which is about the least interesting thing a person can do all the time. So.
That's true. I'm always upset about something. It's either the humidity or the lack of sunlight. So
exactly.
And would you rather it be sunny and humid or cool and no sun?
Honestly, coming from Portland, I'm okay with cool and no sun. Like coming light
from
rain.
Florida.
Uh-huh.
I'd rather have sun and humidity.
My thing about colder weather, like I don't love a deep winter either, you know. I didn't get that when I was growing up, but I like that you can bundle when it's like that outside and you're in it. There's nothing you can do.
I like that I get less attention for being a female body.
Yeah, that there's
the
nothing
winter.
Like the first couple of times you take your legs out in the world and you're reminded that apparently they're for everyone else.
Mine's more of an upper body situation. Although lower body too. This summer I decided I like shorts. I don't. But
you've really owned.
I've just been wearing more shorts.
You also have that great pair that I used to wear all the time.
They're amazing.
They're really kind of sisterhood of the traveling shorts.
You and I shouldn't wear the same size.
No, we shouldn't.
Well, they wouldn't fit you now.
But like our as always, our waists are about the same size, which makes sense because that's kind of the crucial part. It's so weird. I love it.
Yeah, I'm a tiny waist and you a tiny waist. Hi, Bridget.
Tiny waist crew. Hi, Brooke. Hi, everybody.
I'm sorry. I got just distracted by this bow sitting on top of your lamp.
Yep. You know who I inherited that from?
Who?
Sweet friend of the pod, Emily Stout.
Oh.
There was like a year in college where I wore, I don't know if you remember this, a bow about that size in my hair. Probably every day. And
Why did Emily Stout have it?
Well, I don't know because she's cute and likes cute things. And she always looks good.
She does always look good.
She doesn't think so, but she does always. I've never seen her not look good.
No, never. She always is put together and beautiful, and her hair has a perfect curl in it.
Perfect curl. It's unreal.
Amazing.
Better than Sarah Jessica Parker.
Wow.
I know. But when she...
She's very Charlotte in that way.
Left the city, she is. Mm-hmm. She let me go through a bunch of the clothes
she
was getting
rid of. Yeah, I'm upset that I missed that boat.
It was really... a delightful experience for me. All those dresses that I've worn this summer are all Emily Stout inheritance.
Anyway, sorry.
We just love Emily.
We love you, Emily.
Hi, Brooke.
Hi, Bridget.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome to Splat, the podcast where me, Brooke,
and me, Bridget,
talk about Sex in the City.
10 years younger.
And 20 years later.
We were on such a roll.
I'm going to edit that. So it seems like we were always on. We never left the roll.
We rolled our
we,
way
we
down
had
that
a, like
hill.
A ciabatta moment, but we got back.
Yeah, exactly.
I love bread.
Yeah, me too.
I'm telling you.
Bodega sandwich on a roll.
I ate two salads on Sunday because I was self-conscious about my order because I was around other people who are older than me and who are much more aware of what they're eating. Not that I'm not thinking about it all the time, but I was, I've been on like a pasta kick and my stomach hurt. And I think I honestly was like my...
Too many veggies.
Not even too many veggies. I was just like, my body's like, you haven't eaten pasta in like two or 3 days.
Give us carbs, woman.
So I'm going to eat pasta for dinner tonight.
Good. What kind are you going to make your...
Yeah, I'm going to try a new recipe that I found today.
Damn, you're really going for it.
That's
I'm into it.
That's based off of the one we had at Lupa.
Oh.
They put olive oil in it, which is interesting to me, so I'm curious how that's going to taste. But I have to go. Hopefully, the Food Town will be open by the time I get home. Just do Bodega sell boxes of pasta? Probably.
Yeah.
They'll probably give me a rigatoni. It's not going to be the best pasta, but, you know.
One of the bodegas along the way will have.
Roommate of the podcast, Alex Seeley, ate my posta.
Oh, wow.
And I was
That's
like, you
bold.
Have three boxes of whole wheat pasta. Why did you have to eat my white starch rigatoni?
Because he didn't want the whole wheat pasta after all.
I understand, but I just, no, it didn't. Well, I had a moment where I was like, did I already eat this? No.
You know your pasta inventory, please.
Yeah.
You know what's in the pasta pantry.
It's hard to find a bucatini in this town.
Honestly. What has this town come to when you can't just find a bucatini on the nearest shop?
Someone was like, are you Italian? And I went, no, I just love pasta.
That's really it. It's blossoming into its own thing. Brooke, give me your thoughts on this Cats movie that's apparently coming out. She's just shaking her head.
I mean, it's... As I've said about certain things that have happened to me in the past, you know, month, 2 months, it's not the Cats movie that we need, but it is the Cats movie or that we want. It's not the Cats movie that we want, but it is the Cats movie that we deserve. And to be honest, the Cats movie that we want is no Cats movie.
That's true.
Like that. It doesn't need to. That's not something that I'm like, this needs to get made.
Uh-uh.
But it is astounding to me that both. It's astounding to me that there are people that know of me or know me who really, really identify me as someone who both loves Cats and Mamma Mia. You know, I really feel that...
You say that as if you haven't cultivated...
I know. I just, like, can't believe that this is who I've become.
Oh, I can. I watched it unfold and I've loved it.
It's very interesting because if you meet me and you meet another person who probably... talks about and is as enamored with those two things, I think that I am a different person than...
Oh, sure. I think what you're dancing around is you're a lot less annoying.
Yeah. And
that implies.
I think I have the... I know what I love, and I know that it's not...
I am here for owning the things you love, says the girl who had a
That's
One
true.
Direction
of all
Tumblr.
You know,
you know?
It's like
if listen.
You, if we're doing the dive, like, what's my favorite musical? I will never tell you that it's Cats, and I will never tell you that it's Mamma Mia. The answer is Sunday in the Park with George and
there
Gypsy.
You go.
And The Secret Garden. I like a dark chamber
you
musical.
Do. You really do.
But, you know, the fourth on that list is Wicked.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Wicked is my One Direction.
Right. No, really.
I was talking to...
I think we ought to lean into those things. A little more passion, a little more...
I was talking about the Photoshop work that I did last week while I was bored babysitting. Well, the kids were asleep. I wasn't just ignoring the kids to do the Shreks in the City thing.
I mean...
And I was talking to...
Priorities would be firmly intact.
To a friend of the pod about it. And I was like... I've dabbled in Photoshop before. What I didn't disclose, and I don't think that he listens to the podcast anymore. And honestly, if he does, like, I'm an open book, an open brook, you know.
but I saw the pun coming before, like the way your face played that.
The reason why I know a little bit even about Photoshop is because I used to make live journal icons for about Wicked.
That's right.
My face,
So we all have our things, you know?
We all have our junk, and my junk is you.
Yeah, that's right. You're mine. And yours is also Cats and...
My junk is Cats and Mamma Mia. So, you know, let's talk about Sex and the City for a minute.
Let's talk about it. This is not a particularly elegant episode.
You know...
So, in some ways, there are moments of it I loved.
Yes, there are moments of it that I loved, and there are moments of it... that I didn't love. And a lot of that is just how things are discussed. And is that a sign of the times? Yes.
Yes.
I think this episode, we'll get there.
I think also it's a sign, again, of how the writing here sometimes doesn't go very deep in the interest of, you know, hitting the buttons of the episode.
I think there's a lot to talk about. So should we just dive in?
Yeah, this is episode 14 of season 4 called All That Glitters.
But I posit, my new favorite word.
Posit.
Is to.
That's a longstanding fave on this pod, I think.
I think it replaced presumably because I got embarrassed about presumably.
Presumably is also a longstanding fave and one I think we should bring back into rotation.
Well, presumably.
I mean, is it not a perfect word in some ways?
It's very fun to say and also very made up. Mm-hmm. So all that glitters, but I just would like to present the glitter and be gay.
It would be an apt title.
So New York.
One of the best things about New York, says Carrie Bradshaw, is that on any given night, there are a million things to do. True, still true, still always true.
And one of the worst things is deciding which one, which is also still true.
And usually I default to the Aiden, which in this case is staying home, ordering food, and watching something on TV.
Yeah, but like KFC, though.
I know, so very specific.
Aiden walks in and is like, oh, those floors, I'm a country bumpkin.
You think the floors next door are better?
And Carrie's like, Aiden, let's go to this trendy hotel, which is why I'm sort of like, Carrie is engaged to this man. Remember?
Yes. I fully forgot until later in this episode when she's wearing a ring. And I was like, why is she wearing that ring? And then someone says, are you engaged? Or what's
so
that
they're
ring?
Engaged. And in this scene alone, I'm like, are they compatible in any way? And it made me question every single thing about their relationship. Because I feel like Carrie does need someone who will go out with her and want to flaunt her about.
At least occasionally, you know. That's real. She wants to be flaunted.
And
she wants
says
to be.
The word taters, and I just can't get past that.
She's like, let's go to this fancy place, town, period. You know, it has a period in the name, and then he retaliates later, and he's like, K, period, F, period, C, period.
And
like,
so flicky fingers. Goes to shower, wants KFC, he's going to watch baseball, so Carrie calls Samantha.
And she's like, oh, thank fuck, when are you getting over here? Like,
Presumably. Richard on the other line, but Richard is not there.
And he was supposed to come over or call back 4 minutes later, and it's been 4 hours, and she's been waiting by the phone. And then they do this really cute thing where they conference everyone in, and Miranda's at the bottom, laying with her little popped belly. And then it keeps moving around. It's so cute.
It's very Brady Bunch.
It's very like middle school best friends, you know.
And Charlotte reveals that she and Trey are not talking.
Because Trey picks up the phone and she's like, I got it. It's for me. And he hangs up and she says, that's the first time we've talked all day.
Yeah.
So they all have their things. And
so they want to go dancing.
They're like, let's go out. But not. And Miranda's like, not somewhere I'm going to feel bad about myself.
I'm fat.
And they're like, you're not fat. You're pregnant. And she's like, I don't think that's probably any better. So Samantha's like, listen, I have a place for us to go.
So they are the only four women in a gay bar.
And which, in fact, like, this is so typical at this point that there is no ladies' bathroom, which will become a critical plot point.
So, yeah, they're at Trade, which in our world, I guess, would be like Hardware or...
those names even kind of match.
Yeah, Hardware or... There's a couple that, like, I was like, oh, that's what this is supposed to be. Like, this is in Hell's Kitchen, I bet. And they're where they're like, gay men are so much better than straight men because gay men are hot and they work out and they care about how they look and how they treat people. And it's like, there are also people with dementia and things.
Oh, but this show doesn't do that.
No, if you're not a white woman, you don't get dementia on this show.
No. So the other thing I was going to say is, remember we learned when Hannah Slava was on that there are only two lesbian bars in the entire city still, you know? So like, this really was like... In some ways, the gay culture.
A lot more gay bars.
Yeah.
Like this.
Yeah.
So they run into Mario Cantone, who's Anthony, who's Charlotte's, gorgeous, and Charlotte's gay best friend. And
he's so excited to see her.
He's got this Aryan man with him.
Who is an editor of Homes and Gardens.
House and Garden.
Sorry, House and Garden. And Charlotte's like, I used to wear my mother's pearls and flip through the magazine. And Aryan man goes, me too.
Yeah. And Anthony's like, Charlotte has the perfect apartment. And so he's like, I'm going to shoot your apartment. And you're kind of like, oh.
Wow, that was fast and
isn't
easy.
Isn't that amazing?
Amazing when you have money and connections, what happens. So Charlotte's dream is going to come true. And then he's like, come and dance with me. So... Mario Cantone is left with Carrie, and they have a cute little moment where he's like, she's like, are you guys together? Well, he's like, we're at a gay bar, and still, you know, I do all the work and Charlotte polls, basically. Yeah. And he's like, we're not together, but I'm hoping we will be around 3:30 a.m.
And then he goes, watch out for the fairy. And Carrie, and then a man with fairy wings walks by, and Carrie goes,
which one? And I'm like, which is the whole dialogue. I mean, it's just like all of this I mean, is reduced to that.
It's putting Samantha in this situation with like the writing that they give poor Kim Cattrall. Like, again,
this is an awful scene.
Watching me watch Kim Cattrall, who considers herself to be like a highbrow actress, I feel just so bad. She goes into the bathroom
with Miranda, because Miranda's like, to pee.
Oops, sorry, there's no ladies bathroom.
And like, no one pays any attention to this.
Samantha goes, women coming through.
And then she goes and stands in between men peeing at the urinal. This is awful. It's awful.
And goes, just peeking. I'm like a diabetic in a donut shop.
Exactly. And she says in a Baskin Robbins, I think.
Yeah.
And the men laugh, but it's like,
no.
What the fuck?
Can you imagine if I walked into a men's bathroom anywhere? I mean, anywhere. At a gay bar, I was like, I just want to see the difference.
Can you imagine if you flipped the genders? I mean, it wouldn't even be a question, because it shouldn't be. It's gross.
Also, they're peeing.
It's, ugh.
Like, just.
Every part of it is so simplistic and awful. And I mean, that is just like straight up. Gross.
It's horrifying.
And also, it just
Brooke and Bridget do not condone that behavior.
And it backslides Samantha's character so far, you know, because it makes her, it's not her fault. It isn't, as you're saying, poor Kim Cattrall trying to give depth and justice to this, but it's just like, it's so unlikable and reductive.
It's not great. So Carrie goes to the bar and no one will serve her because she's a woman, which, like,
on the one hand, I think there's some interesting, like, if this was done in 2018 and had any nuance, there might be some talking about, like, white cis gay culture, you know, and how that's, like, predominantly
there
accepted.
Are still
and,
no.
I mean, that even kind of happened, like, if you think about our experience at a very liberal theater department at Northwestern, it was, like, so many gay people, and you think about it, and it's, like, well, how many actually out gay women do you know? Like, that's not talked about. It's just gay culture, yeah. You know, predominantly. Yeah. It was there, of course, and it's I think way more obvious once we've graduated, but it's
so many more women are queer than I fathomed.
And also, of course, the discourse is shifting fast, and those gray areas are more and more like open and available, but that's so not what's happening here, obviously. But it takes it to the extremes of, like,
I just feel like it's so in, like, I feel like having four white women go to a gay bar
and then be like,
it's to get away from everything.
Escapism.
It's like, yeah. Have I gone to a gay bar before? Yes. Have I gone without a gay person?
No, that's, you know.
And also, like, yeah, I've also never been. When I haven't, it's odd to, I guess maybe it's not odd at this time, but it's odd to me that there are no other women there.
Yeah, no, me too. Although, again, if the implication is this never happens, if they literally did not put in a women's bathroom.
Oh, that's true.
You know what I mean? But, like, I also can't imagine in what kind of building code that's legal. Like,
it's
I'm pretty sure it's not.
So then this handsome Australian comes around
and he, like, flags the bartender down and he orders a drink and he's like, he orders her drink and he says, for the, charming and beautiful Carrie Bradshaw.
Yeah. I have to admit, this episode and his plot does not go where I thought it was going to go. Thank God.
Me either. I'm very pleased about it. I liked a lot of it, actually. This was an interesting.
And he's like, oh, your ring. And she's like, oh, I forgot that I'm engaged.
And it turns out he knows who she is because he's just moved here 6 months ago. And he's like, your column is, I consider it my guide to the city.
He's like, what am I going to do if you're not?
If you're not out there dating, you're my dating guru. And he has a goodie bag from a film premiere he went to.
She must get paid more than we think for this column. Because when she gets recognized, it's like by like pretty reputable people.
It's true. But journalism, even at its best, is not like a lucrative career, you know?
Yeah.
Ever.
So he gives her a goodie bag that he got. He sells shoes around the world and he's gonna give her some
and he works with all the shoe retailers. He gets a discount, and he also, the goodie bag he hands her has a gay porn in it, which is called, like, Jocks and Cox four. And Carrie's like, do I need to have seen the first three to appreciate this one? And he's like, no, but after you see it, you will want to watch, you know, go back and watch it. That's funny. Like, they get along well. He's charming. He obviously can offer her something.
Yeah. And it's cute. And then we have Miranda. This is, I think, the most interesting. Mm-hmm. One of the most interesting and ploppable, I'm just going to put the word out there,
there
now.
Moments.
Arcs throughout the series that we've seen. It's only an episode, of course. But so Miranda walks out of the bathroom,
but
I
would argue that just literally this conversation of it, I think, yes, everywhere it goes from here.
Yes.
Is right back into Sex and the City. Like, ugh.
Yeah. So Miranda walks out of the bathroom and sees recognizes a man. And again, I was like, oh, she's going to see someone that she's dated, and Miranda's going to Miranda
out
about it.
Right. I thought so too.
Uh-huh. So I will say that the show is starting to surprise me.
Yeah. Yeah. And you've seen it even.
Yeah. Some episodes I just don't remember, and this is one of them. But
she sees a guy at the washing his hands at the sink, and she says his name.
And he's clearly
very surprised to see her.
And so we find out he's a junior partner.
Like an associate at her firm. Mm-hmm. And they have a funny conversation back and forth quickly, you know, about what she's doing in a gay bar. And
he's like, I would prefer if you didn't share this with the other.
She's walking away, and he's literally like, Miranda? Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, please don't share this with the other. Not that I'm not out. I don't need that to become a part of my...
I think he says, I don't want the older partners to, think that about me, basically.
And Miranda comes back with, well, I'm pregnant.
And he goes, and unwed.
And she's like, so for the same thing, and this comes back to, one of the first instances, mm-hmm, that we meet Miranda, where she pretends to be a lesbian.
To get ahead at the firm.
Yeah.
Because she's basically as soon as word's out... You know, she's like, I'm keeping it quiet as long as possible, because as soon as word's out, you know, the vultures are going to be vying for my corner office, and I won't get as good of cases.
And he goes, it's a nice office. And Cynthia Nixon is
amazing. And she
cute.
Face acts, and she gives him a little glare.
It's interesting. This was a very not dissimilar from some of the issues that came up in this play that I did.
Mm-hmm.
Just this idea that these older generation of lawyers specifically,
right,
are sort of the worst.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, it's an interesting concept, and I think this moment is recognizable. And even now, I mean, it's not like people don't really struggle with coming out or live in circumstances where, you know, they can't, or it will affect their job in some way.
Absolutely.
So
and pregnancy,
this is
especially
pregnancy too.
I mean,
absolutely.
There are maternity leave law,
yeah,
things are just fucked a lot of the places,
especially here. In the States, we already have such terrible maternity leave and care, and I mean, healthcare is a maternity is a healthcare issue, and it's so expensive.
So,
Charlotte's having fun dancing, and then she kind of is overwhelmed.
And then Anthony and Gordon start making out on top of her,
and she's like, "I'm gonna go."
And they all end up at the bar, and Samantha,
they being all the ladies again,
all the ladies, and they have this cute moment we should do this every weekend. We're having the best night. Miranda's like, "I outed a lawyer from my firm." Carrie's like, I got porn. And Samantha's like, I did ecstasy.
It's so funny. And also the first time we've seen any of them do anything more than marijuana.
I'm surprised that Samantha doesn't do more coke, TBH.
Yeah, maybe that's just implied, you know, assumed. She probably does, and it's just not part of the story. And they're all kind of surprisingly chill about it. And they're like, I can't believe you. Although they are like, I can't believe you took ecstasy from a stranger.
She's like, it's my friend's Bobby.
And
now she's like,
I'm going to go drop in on Richard because I've heard sex on X. She calls it, the others call it ecstasy. She calls it X every single time.
Isn't it called E?
I think more commonly now, definitely.
Who's here?
I don't know. Maybe someone ordered food.
I don't like that. I'm just kidding. It's fine.
They're here for you, Brooke.
Who did you bring here?
I set this whole thing up. You think this is a podcast? It's a sting operation.
So Carrie arrives home. I mean, have I been this girl?
Have I been Aiden? Aiden is my...
You've been Aiden to someone else's Carrie?
No, not to someone else's Carrie. I just mean I am Aiden. If this is my single behavior in some ways, you know,
eating Ritz
crackers in bed, you know, and falling asleep with all the lights on. So she literally comes home and takes his hand out of the KFC. You've done that to someone?
No, I just mean like been drunk and been like, wake up and play with my body.
Oh, this. Yes, I have done this too.
Come on.
She's like, why are you asleep?
Don't you want to play with
She's being all, she also says to him, she like keeps trying. Well, he pulls her into bed and he's like, go to sleep. And she still has all her clothes on. And
she's like, I had 5 cocktails.
And then she's also like, I danced with a lot of fine half-naked men. I can tell you about it, you know, and he's asleep. He's like, not.
I will say, though, from my experience, usually if they get to this point, he'll wake up.
Oh, yeah. I would agree. But Aiden is staunchly not.
I've also been on the other side of this with, can you guess who? Is like, mm-hmm. come on, mm-hmm. come here. And it's like, I know, there's something kind of sweet about
there it. There is. There definitely is. I think what it does here is just illustrate, like, on what different pages they're on.
And Aiden's like, I think I ate too much chicken.
Will you rub my belly?
And I'm like, why would she want someone to rub your belly?
I know I'm interrupting, but I got locked out. I'm so sorry. Oh, my God, coming.
Oh, was that Ari?
Yeah.
Oh.
So what we were saying is Carrie and Aiden are on very different pages, and then his stomach is hurty, and so he asks her to rub it, which is hilarious, and she does, and she's not happy about it. And he falls asleep.
Now she felt like she was in a Calvin Klein ad before, and now she's back to buckets and baseball and
BVDs, whatever that is. So,
meanwhile, Samantha's having sex with Richard. She's having, surprise, amazing the best sex of her life.
She says, that was amazing. You are amazing. And then she says, I love you, Richard.
I'm in love with you.
I'm in love with you. Hello. Come on in here, buddy.
Just tell the people what happened. This is Ari Shapiro, roommate of the pod.
Long-awaited debut.
I can't believe this is my first time on the podcast. Hello. And I have to tell this story.
You must. Okay, what happened?
Literally what happened.
What happened?
I was helping my friend Anna out with a self-tape. And
Harry's very good with cameras.
He's a full-scale operation. He does the editing, the filming. Scale. Our apartment serves the perfect backdrop.
Means of Productions is my production company. You check have to check it out. Check I can't believe I'm doing a plug is the second thing I'm saying.
Can you
podcast.
Tell your shameful story now?
Yeah, I'm trying. So I was helping Anna with this self-tape that was going okay. But anyways, she was like, thank you so much for helping me. Can I buy you pizza? And I got real excited. No, just Mike's Pizza, the best.
It's the best.
It's the best.
Is it the best?
It's across the street from us, and it is called Mike's Pizza, the best.
Yep.
Great. Okay, so you got excited for the pizza.
Because Mike's Pizza is the best. And we went up across the street and got Mike's Pizza because it's
the best.
Good. Come on. And
Too easy.
Too easy. And then I came back here and didn't have my keys, and so I just rang the bell as many times as I could.
What's funny is I said to Brooke about the fourth time you rang the bell, both of my roommates are here. Someone else will get it. And he didn't think to call me, which would have solved the entire problem.
It would have.
Ari, before you go, what's your favorite thing? I need you to say one nice thing about me and one nice thing about Bridget.
And one nice thing about Sex and the City. Whatever order you'd like.
Okay. One nice thing about Brooke. I'm going to do it in the order because that's how I work. I'm a sheep. The one nice thing about Brooke is that she's fiercely loyal. Fiercely loyal.
Both of us are nodding back at him because it's true.
It's so true. She's like got your back at every fucking turn.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a boss.
Amen.
Let's see. With Bridget. She cleaned the kitchen the other day, and it was like excellent work.
Thank you.
She's really good at cleaning.
Uh huh.
I can't
what
believe
a different.
Really shows how we're valued.
Bridget plays board games with me constantly and soothes me at every turn, and also is watching Game of Thrones with me.
I'm so excited about it.
It's my second time. Baby's first
will you
time.
Also it's I'm watching it for the first time. I'm going to talk about it after this a little bit, but Ari's been the best ever, and I'll talk more about that
it's
later.
It's so fun. I love
City.
Watching
Sex and the City.
And then one nice thing about Sex and the City is that I think it really was like TV defining. Like it really like helped set up such incredible TV, and I think that it's probably good. I just haven't really invested at all.
Have you ever watched an episode?
I've watched one or two episodes with Natalie, who I used to date.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God!
She
I wish we could have Natalie on the show.
Oh, she'd be so in.
She would.
I wonder if she does. She listen?
No, does she? Maybe we'll have her on if she's ever back in the city. Thank you for stopping by my room on this fine occasion.
My absolute pleasure. I can't believe
this. Thank you for shaming yourself publicly for being so forgetful.
Thank you. Thank you. You're so welcome.
Anytime.
That has been Compliments from Bridges Roommate.
he's my guy.
Sorry, I just got a video from my friend, our friend Fergus, who I saw Mamma Mia 2 with on Friday. But he had a long, hard night.
An ugh night.
And he still came to see Mamma Mia 2 with me in IMAX.
Which is remarkable that was the experience you
had.
And
I sent his tuchus back to New Zealand.
Not quite. He's in by way of Maine, right?
Yeah, I don't care.
Whatever. But he just sent a video of him dancing to ABBA because he loves it.
He loves ABBA, but he did not love Mamma Mia 2. Anyway.
No one needs his opinion.
Samantha told Richard that she loved him. Oh, no. And now she's panicking because she was on ecstasy and she loves ecstasy.
So the next morning.
And you love everything.
But she doesn't actually think she feels it. She definitely does. She calls Carrie the next morning and is complaining about it. She real does look like she had a night.
She looks like a go-go that lost her way.
Yeah. On the way to the go-go factory. So she's like. Carrie's like, do you love him? And she's like, who the hell knows?
Sarah Jessica Parker's fucking abs.
I know. Her whole everything.
So.
And basically Kim Cattrall is like, I was on X. I was in love with the taxi driver. I was in love with the doorman. I was in love with his sweater. So Carrie goes to brunch with her new guy. Her new man-a-man.
Oliver?
Yeah, I think so.
And he's still Australian.
And he's still cute.
And he has this weird little soul patch.
He does. That's the only thing really getting in his way.
And they're talking about, like, basically the logistics of and differences between being in a straight relationship and a gay relationship, which is a question that there are certainly, like...
I think we've talked about this actually recently, and I do think, in general, there is more fluidity and flexibility
in a, like, long-term gay homosexual relationship.
Yeah, gay, especially gay male, yeah. I think. I think lesbians are committed as fuck, and they commit early on.
Yeah, I mean, women.
But he is, because he basically is like, I went to a gay bar last night, and the best person I met was you, and he's basically like, all I wanted was someone to fuck. I have a boyfriend in Australia. So Carrie was like, how does that work? So they get into it a little bit.
Yeah.
And then he's like, tell me about your guy. And she says he's very tall and incredibly kind.
And you can tell that she's struggling a little bit.
To think of things. She's like, and handsome.
Because he's like, he keeps bringing up the ring. And she's like, why are you bringing up the ring? And he's like, you literally haven't mentioned your fiance once.
And then he also says, why wasn't he with you last night? Also, she's wearing this like insane backless shirt that her back's the insane part.
This is an insane shirt.
Yeah.
I mean, surprise.
Surprise. And he's like, well, I want to go to this crazy club. And she's like, don't you have to have a key or something to get in? He's like, I have a key.
And then they're interrupted by none other than my favorite Stanford, who's wearing a key lime pie suit.
And so he meets handsome Australian who goes to the bathroom, and Stanford's like, am I missing something here? You're sleeping with a beautiful man?
And she's like, he's gay.
And Stanford goes, oh, the accent always throws me off. And then he sits down and he's like, well, now I'm jealous in a different way. And then he's like, okay, beautiful gay man at brunch.
He goes, I'm green with envy. And Carrie goes, yeah, I can tell.
Yep. He really is. She's like, I picked him up at trade. You went to shirtless heaven without me? And she says it wasn't the same. They're so cute with each other.
I was prepared to lose you to Aiden, but this...
She says, it's just brunch.
Have your beautiful brunch with your beautiful man. And then go home to your other beautiful man.
Greedy, greedy, greedy. And then he walks away. It's so cute. Carrie monologues this, I wonder.
Restlessness and relationships. Mm-hmm.
Why are some of us reluctant to let go of our single selves?
Is single life in New York such a constant flurry of fun? And friends, that settling down immediately fills us with the urge to shake things up again.
And then she literally takes down a snow globe to illustrate the point and shakes it up.
And I do think, she goes, maybe Oliver does have the key.
That we shouldn't expect to get everything from one man, but instead feel comfortable getting different things from different people. Although at what point do separate interests become separate bedrooms?
Because that's what's happening to Charlotte and Trey.
I couldn't help but wonder, in a couple, do you have to put your single self on a shelf?
All right. So, shall we wonder?
Yeah, because there's a lot in there.
Yes. I think the restlessness in relationships, I think that's a real thing. I think it is the thing that ended my long-term relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the fear of that is what inhibited me from having a fully developed version of my second significant relationship. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, I can imagine that it will plague me once again. Well, I don't know.
Who knows?
But it's interesting to me. I think yes, I think that it is an issue. It's mm-hmm. hard to sort of commit to that.
Like, yeah. Well, in a relationship, of course, is a lot of compromise. And so, you know, well, it's Carrie does the thing, you know, where she's like, why is it some of us not want to give up our single selves? And it's like, well, because once again, people come in every flavor. You know, some people never really want to be in a committed relationship.
And ideally, like, it's okay to want to go out with your friends. Like, you can go, I think there's a difference between being like, I don't know, like.
Well, and if you're really committing to a life with someone who clearly has very different priorities than you do, then part of the work you have to do is figuring out, like, what that looks like for each of you, getting your needs met.
Yeah.
And that means probably Aiden would come out with you sometimes. And it means some nights it's the equivalent of like going to the cabin sometimes, you know,
mm-hmm.
like
he has to come out
and you have to,
but like, and also like, twice. But I just like, it's surprising. Yeah. Their compatibility doesn't make any sense to me. Like, yes, I think he grounds her in a nice way, but I think that the core things that make Carrie Carrie are incompatible with the core things that make Aiden Aiden.
I think you're right. And I think, cause I think it's done. I think it's, there's not enough nuance in it. You know, they haven't given us.
Yeah.
Like, I still can't really think beyond their physical chemistry, what it's been. They've had some moments, you know, where they've come around. Mm-hmm. But the majority of this relationship is like, why are either of you doing it?
Yeah. It doesn't really seem like they make each other happy. It seems like they have more discourse than they do in fun. Or
and maybe it's, that's part of what's happening. And maybe it's a learning experience for Carrie. And fascinating.
Meanwhile, Miranda's workaholic single self.
So a woman comes into Miranda's office where she's sleeping in her chair. She pops up and looks gorgeous. And the woman is like, I finally, after 2 years, got all the partners to agree to casual Fridays. And then as she's leaving, she whispers, and congratulations. So Miranda marches through some offices and goes to see the guy.
Max, I think his name is.
I think so. Who she met
and
at.
And she's like, you told.
At the gay bar in the bathroom.
You told this woman that I'm pregnant. And he's like, in your defense, because they thought you were an alcoholic or.
Or like bipolar or something, which is so.
Because you were sleeping under your desk.
Reductive
and
again.
And she was like. And he's like, isn't it better? And she was like.
That I told them you were pregnant? She's like, no, not
this,
here.
This woman can't keep a secret.
Because he says, I told her to keep it a secret. And she's like, no, the whole firm is going to know now. And
she goes, what would you do if I told the firm that you were gay? And as she's saying this, the same woman is walking into the office.
Of course. And he's like, he looks at her and he says, do you want to call my grandparents next? Thanks a lot. So they've effectively both outed each other. I mean, Miranda's is significant. Clearly, it's going to affect her life. But also, it's a huge deal to out someone.
Yeah.
Ugh, it's.
It's not great.
It's not great. It's clumsy. But, you know, it's TV and that happens sometimes.
So the four of them are hanging out and watching the gay porn.
They're watching it. It's cute.
This
Charlotte
is Carrie's second time watching it because she mentioned before that after Aiden didn't want to sleep with her, she stays up and watches this gay porn, which is like.
And Charlotte comes in and she's like, I'm not in the mood for gay porn.
And Carrie stops and is like, what?
Not in the mood? And
this seems like a funny thing to do.
It does.
Just, like, and watch crazy porn.
Especially on DVD.
And, like, drink martinis.
And while Miranda eats biscottis. They, so Charlotte's like, House and Garden is coming tomorrow.
And Trey doesn't want to.
Trey, Anthony's more excited about this than Trey is.
And they're sleeping in separate bedrooms.
Right. He's in the guest bedroom. And then they talk about Oliver and Miranda's.
She's cheating on.
Like. You're cheating on your husband or your boyfriend with a gay man. And Carrie's like, that's how it works. You know, that's the loophole to dating a straight man.
And
a gay
Miranda
boyfriend.
Goes, my gay boyfriend outed me at work and then I outed him. Even my gay relationships are dysfunctional. And I was like, Miranda.
Although, is he your boyfriend? You ran into him.
I was like,
what a weird. Yeah. Trey's content with what we have, and therefore I'm a bad person for needing to have a baby.
She
Charlotte's like unpacking her.
Little.
Yeah. And she's like, sorry, this is making me depressed. Let's watch the gay porn.
Samantha's like, well, feelings about me move.
Thought you'd never ask. And then they make cute noises at the porn.
So then Samantha and Richard are at the office, and Samantha's like, brings it up and is like, they're talking about publicity and who comes you up, know, Steve Martin.
Random shit. Yeah, he's like, well, I'm not going to keep doing charity shit if I don't get any good publicity out of it. Like, have you yelled at the Times yet?
And Samantha's like, are we going to talk about that thing I said the other night? And he's like, Samantha, you are on ecstasy. Everyone's in love with everything when you're on. Like, don't worry about it. And Samantha kind of, like, responds badly because obviously because she's in love with him.
Wishes that he did, would
but
care.
Then he kisses her.
It's very strange. And I'm like, in front of everyone.
I'm like, oh, are they together?
Is that like a
thing? Did we miss that?
Or they're, like, openly fucking each other while they work? Because clearly they're both pretending there aren't feelings, or maybe he really doesn't have any.
Yeah, and you can tell Samantha's kind of like, burrow, 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 burrow.
And then he's basically like, did you need me for anything else? And she says no, and then he grabs her and kisses her, as we said, and then she's like, fuck you at my place at 8? You know, pointedly not.
And he just says, sound good, and then she, like, kind of walks off uncomfortably.
Very uncomfortably.
She looks amazing. I would wear...
So, now, this plot line buttons up in the stupidest way possible.
It's casual Friday. Miranda walks in and her belly
for the
belly
first
bump.
Time. Her belly bump is out. She's in a nice dress. And then gay boy walks in fucking club wear.
Fucking mesh shirt. Like, there's a way to have done this. And then
when Stern, Hawkins, and Erickson saw him, that was the end of casual Friday. Like, in what world would that guy who was like, please don't tell anyone at work, then on casual Friday come in like that?
Yeah.
It doesn't. In, like, floral...
And so
pants and
Charlotte is like getting flowers ready for
the shoot tomorrow. And Trey is basically like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
And she's like, because at first she says, you know, you're supposed to be in it because they think we're the perfect couple.
And she's like, can you just make sure your stuff's out of the
guest bedroom?
He looks different.
Does he?
Doesn't he look younger?
Maybe he's like shooting something else.
Probably. But then it wouldn't make him younger.
Anyway. No, but I mean, like, clean him up, or, like, you know, if he's...
His hair, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. She's like, it's important to me. And he's like, no, I mean this. This I can't do us. You're
yeah,
so mad
fully.
At me.
He's like, you're angry all the time. And she says to him the most honest thing she's said so far, which is like, I want a baby. And I thought you did too. And I think it's reasonable that I still want to have a baby. He's
and
like,
so
I also thought that I wanted it.
They're getting a divorce is what
yeah,
we decide.
They're fully separated. And he says to her, you can keep the apartment. I'm going to move back in with my mom, which weird, but
good.
Nice.
Let it get, take him, take her, take Bunny. Go Bunny.
Yeah, go. Bunny,
run
take Trey.
Run to your Bunny.
Run to your McDougals. And Charlotte is like teary, but also I think kind of pretty relieved.
Yeah, because Trey fucking sucks.
He does. And like, she couldn't go on like that.
And like, maybe you shouldn't marry someone you've only known for 2 months.
Yeah. Hello. Charlotte and Trey's had become more than separate bedrooms.
They'd become a real separation. And she's so beautiful. And so Carrie does this weird thing where she like puts her engagement ring around her neck instead
like
of
on
her
a necklace.
Finger. But
yeah.
Why?
Well, she's like, I had tried to find a way to make my single self match with my engaged self.
And Ada Moxon is like, damn, you look hot. And then is like, why is your ring around your neck? And she's like, closer to my heart.
Which also, does that imply that wearing that on her finger is like not Carrie? I guess it's not her single self. No, because she
well because
is
people
engaged.
Are because her whole persona is that of like the person who's single and dating.
Right That's her column. Right And she's like, it's just something I'm trying. It's closer to my heart this way.
And so Aiden reasonably is kind of like goes on edge and is like, well, what are you going out with the girls? And she's like, no, my a guy. And he's like, what? And she's like, he's gay. And he goes, phew.
And then he's like, should I shower and come with you? And she basically like hardcore talks him out of it.
She's like, no.
And he kind of handles it okay. She's like, you wouldn't. Meh.
Well, she's like, you can't.
Yeah.
There's only
he has a literal key
in.
And I'm his, you know, person.
And then
she shows up at the club, which of course from the outside looks like a hilarious movie set club. And she says, before she leaves, see, that kind of attitude is not appreciated there.
And he goes, come on, carry a key. He's like, well, have a good time and don't forget your key because this is also a very exclusive club and you might not be able to get back in.
Which I would kind of respond that way at this point. He's like,
he's
annoying,
a sport about it.
But he's often a sport about Carrie being equally annoying, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just like, this is I don't know. It's like, we see the Trey and Charlotte thing, and so we're like, wow, that's a horrible relationship. But then you watch Carrie and Aiden, and you're supposed to be like, that's a good relationship. But I watched that,
there's
and I'm like,
there's no joy in it. There's no, like, comfort or, like...
I would love one episode where Carrie and Aiden don't have a source of conflict.
Yeah.
And at least, like, the other...
Or they deal with something else together, you know? Or, like, yeah.
Yeah.
So they go into this club and it's all gay men, and very quickly...
It's not all gay men.
Sorry. No. Sorry. Very quickly, Oliver is surrounded by gay men is what I mean. And yeah. Carrie's just like, they're not interested in me. No one's talking to me.
He's offering shoes to people. He's like sort of doing the same...
Like schmoozy thing that he did to her.
What I thought was, before this, I thought that he was going to be like, I'm not gay.
Oh,
that's what I thought was going to happen.
Interesting.
But that's not what happened.
No. Well, so Carrie's like, I'm going to leave. Which, like, also she could have, you know, gone to talk to somebody else, enjoyed herself.
Yeah, like, there's like a whole mix of other people there. Yeah. Sociable person.
But she's basically like, I came here to be your date, and now I'm watching you do this thing with all these people. And he's like, look, no, I want you to be here. And then Stanford.
Well, he goes kiss and make up. And right. So they kiss on the mouth, and Stanford's like, excuse me. And Carrie goes, I was so caught up in my gay boyfriend, I forgot about my gay husband.
Yeah, it's a...
As someone who is, like, best friends with a gay person, I would never, ever refer to him
that way.
In any of these ways.
No, it's so... It seems very 2002, honestly.
To be like, this is my gay best friend. My gay boyfriend.
We go shopping together.
And we love each other.
Yeah.
Ugh. No.
He's a person. He's your friend.
He's a person, and he's my friend.
And then they have a cute thing where Stanford's like, I've known her since she wore candies. They were suede and I loved you since then. And then
what's his face? Oliver goes kiss and make up again to Carrie. But then Stanford grabs him and kisses him. And Carrie's like, you know what? I'm
actually going to leave. And then she's like, leaves this very exclusive club and she's very excited to go home and crawl into Aiden's chair.
Carrie goes, I realized my single life had a shelf life that expired.
That had just expired.
And he chases her out, and I'm like, kind of just like, it's not that big of a deal. Just let her go.
You don't need her to, yeah. He's like, let me buy you another drink.
And she's like, no, I just want to go home. And then she snuggles up to Aiden
and
realizes that that's the exclusive club that she's always needed.
There you go.
New York, man.
Extremes. There it is.
And that's the episode.
Yeah, that's it. It's a roller coaster. Some really good nuggets. I'm proud of Charlotte.
Samantha.
That conversation in the bathroom between Miranda and...
Yeah.
Associate guy.
I'm like worried that the show's a little dated.
I think it is dated.
I mean, it is dated, but I'm like,
when it tries to be, it's interesting. I think it's more progressive when it's not trying to be, and when it tries to be progressive, it's very clumsy about it.
Well, the things that it's progressive, yes. I think I'm saying a different version of what you're saying, which is like the things that it's progressive about are not the things that, like. Although I love to play devil's advocate just because I want to give it the benefit of the doubt, but it probably was progressive to even have
a lot of these storylines. Yeah. We've had moments where we were like, just the fact that this was normalized
before this is over.
No, this is important too.
Charlotte
has to have her photo shoot.
And she has to tell Anthony that she's getting,
she's like,
separated.
Listen. And before she even says it, he knows. He's like, oh, I knew it. And she's like, so we can just cancel this whole thing. And he's like, hell no, you're going to own this. You're going to be in this alone.
And then Trey shows up.
And then they have this uncomfortable...
Well, I think it's actually a really powerful moment where to all the little girls in America wearing their mother's pearls and looking through the magazine, they see the perfect couple.
Charlotte and they think, I want that.
And so I think that's a super poignant...
Oh, absolutely.
Way
it's
to
just
end the
watching
episode.
Them. Like, they're so uncomfortable, you know? And then the camera, of course, captures the perfect moment where they both make it right. And it's just like a weird moment that'll be captured in time forever right before their marriage is over.
Yeah. Sorry, that's all.
So there's that real separation, but then they kind of...
Who did you resonate with?
Oh, man. A lot of people. I resonate with Aiden, like I said. I resonate with... even the Aiden-Carrie dynamic, like... In my last relationship, I do have that Aiden tendency where, like, I'm really happy to be home and chilling and, like, doing all the things that I'm comfortable with and make me happy. But the difference is that, like, if I'm with someone who's like, let's go and do this thing, I'm like, yeah. You know, I do really well with that because, like, I like to go and do things. My instinct is just to be an Aiden, mm-hmm. you know. But so I get that dynamic a little bit. But also, I don't know. The Carrie stuff is just so... The relationship stuff is just so, like, I don't love it, you know. I'm ready for her to do something else. I feel like it's got to be coming.
Yeah.
Because they're either going to plan a wedding or she's going to meet Burger.
I don't know. I don't know. Or something else could happen.
Yeah. I also think I resonate with Charlotte in this one, in the like, when you kind of can feel something falling apart for a long time, you know, and you're resisting it. And then also the kind of like what that needed to happen anyway, you know, after.
Yeah, I agree. I also resonated with Aiden.
Yeah. I love that.
I did.
I love that.
I'm like, oh, you want to go to a club? I want to order food and watch TV.
Exactly.
Go to bed in my bed. And I want to resonate with, I think I resonate with nobody really.
Yeah.
It's not really my episode.
Mm-mm. Well, they're big.
Probability, we sort of already talked about.
Yeah, we have. Again, I think with more nuance, some of these storylines could be interesting, played out a different way.
I think Charlotte is ploppable. I think Samantha, yeah, in a way, is ploppable. I think Miranda.
Parts of Miranda, definitely.
They're certainly ploppable. I think Carrie's, there's a version of.
That's. Samantha's is ploppable, I think, if you just take the whole, like, work part of it out. You know, like, the relationship, the drugs, the feeling that way about someone. I still think you would have to handle the
whole. I think, like, what's happening to them all individually is ploppable. I think the context in which it happens is not.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. And that's kind of the way I feel about resonating with them now, is that in the on a personal level, like, they're now fully dealing with mid-30s things. Mm-hmm. So I get the feelings, and I get the some of the situations, you know, are similar to things that I experience. Yeah. But it's also some stuff that I just don't have personal.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Delta ups, delta downs. Is that where we're at?
I think so. You go first.
Okay. My delta up is that this weekend was super filling for me in terms of my self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, like, in the past, like, week and a half have sort of, like, landed on a bunch of things. And, like, I just feel like I've gotten some
choices made,
some closure, and I've settled on some things that were giving me a lot of anxiety.
Yeah, you got some shit happening.
I got some shit done, and I just had a really good weekend, and Sam Watterson and I are best friends, so
I
suck
mean,
it.
What could be better?
And my delta down is that I'm alone. No, I'm just kidding. I mean.
Mm-hmm.
It's not wrong. Mm-hmm. Oh, my delta down is that my fucking air conditioner broke again.
No.
And now it's emitting. Imagine it's emitting heat.
No.
I want to scream, Bridget.
That is my nightmare. I would not sleep ever.
It's bad.
Oh. Are they going to fix it? Are they going to replace it?
They didn't respond to my email today, so I will call them tomorrow. And
they fucking better. They should give you rent off, honestly.
That's what
it's
I said.
80 degrees humidity, 80% humidity out.
Yeah, it's really, it's unplugged and it's emitting heat. Like, get that shit out of my room. Anyway, you?
My delta down is honestly just the humidity and the not knowingness of everything. And my delta up is that no matter what, there's good stuff coming. Like, definitely, for real, for real.
For real, for real.
For real, for real.
We're both, like, making big changes.
Big changes.
Well, mine's like a...
No, you are. Okay. Significant.
Sure. Significant. But you're... Yes. Yes. Sure. That's it. Bridget.
That is it.
So she needs these mamsies.
Oh, my God. So if you would like to follow me on Twitter, you can find me at Mrs. Burt Macklin. Also on Instagram, posting mostly photos that Brooke has taken of me at BridgetM37. Brooke at the.
You can find me on Twitter talking about Mamma Mia still at Brooke_Wiseman. I'm trying to think of, I'm over thoughty toddler and I'm trying to think of a new thing and I don't know what to do.
Mm.
And then you can find me on Instagram being a terror at Brooke Wiseman, no underscore. And if you put an underscore, I will capture this humidity in a bottle and save it for a rainy day. And then when it's cold and you're like, and when on the first day of fall when you're feeling fresh, I'll put
and
you
in a sweater for the first time.
I'll put you in a closet and I'll let the humidity go on you.
The whole summer's day just in a closet. And then you will have heat stroke and that's murder.
Bye.
Shrek.
Shrek. Oh. I thought I had something to say about Shrek.
What I have to say is Shrek is Shrek and it's amazing.
Shrek
love
is
it
life
and this
Shrek is life.
And happy Shrek's in the City year.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.